I'm there, and I audit the instructors when I'm there. So I'm just taking a spin class. I do that 3, 4 days a week. That's the only time.
Of the revenue, right? Much like in a startup.
Yes, man. And let's get some of our old soldiers back out.
Musicians to be professional. They know how to talk.
To help them wake up happy. It's not about a rectangle on a price.
All right, y'all, we tuned in for another episode of Banked Out Radio Show. I'm your host, Andreas, and I have another interview being brought via Zoom, courtesy of Podmatch. So if y'all would like to have more high-profile guests, hit me up and I'll give you the link for Podmatch. We have Mr. Irving Chung, who is a franchise owner and CEO of Friend Guidance, a resource for franchise exploration and investment. Now, Mr. Chung has worked in corporate America for 25 years, and he has learned the way that it does not lead to general wealth or happiness. So he has a lot of information to get to us today about what not to do. But Mr. Chung, thank you for coming on the platform.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's good to see you today.
So I want to get into franchising model. So prior to like really, you know what I'm saying, jumping out there and starting, you know what I'm saying, your franchise consultant business, what were you doing in corporate America? Was it just like handling the franchise?
No. I was straight up corporate America. Okay. Nothing to do with franchising. I was, I worked 25 years in marketing. I produced commercials. I create big brands. Some of my included Coca-Cola, AT&T. In fact, I developed the original Got Milk campaign.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that campaign.
I know it. It was fun. It was a good time.
That's what's up. So then what made you go into actual franchisee model and consulting?
Well, it's kind of, I mean, I believe it's kind of a typical path, right? You see, you invest 25 years in hope and a dream that corporate's going to make you comfortable, rich, and famous. And it didn't happen, instead of 25 years of optimism and fun, I had a great time. So don't get me wrong, right? I met celebrities, Paula Abdul. I've met, actors, performers. I mean, I've done pretty elaborate video shoots, traveled internationally. It was a good time, right? And busted my butt. Right. So 50-hour work weeks. Right. And you do it with the hope of climbing that ladder, which I did. Got to senior president, got to some senior management levels. And at the end of 25 years, looked at my bank account and it was far from full. My blood pressure was high.
Oh, wow.
Politics got higher. When you get to senior management, You either you make it or you don't. And at some point you look and take an assessment and say, okay, if I didn't do it in 25 years, I don't have another 25 years to, get that much further. Do I, no.
Exactly.
And so I'm like, I'm tired of working for somebody else. I'm tired of making money for somebody else. And I decided I wanted to own my own business. And so when I decided to do that, that's when I started exploring franchise ownership. I met with a franchise consultant, much like myself, who's part of the Franchise Network. I explored many options and I ended up buying an indoor cycling studio. I decided that if I can put those hours into my own business and if I can, do something I love, right? I'll have a little bit more fun doing it and ideally have a little better of opportunity making money for myself. Since then it's been 6 years now. I've been running my franchise. I evolved into my own consulting business with marketing consulting, franchise consulting. So basically I turned my one corporate income into three.
Yeah.
I've doubled my salary and I still have freedom of time to do what I want to do. I'm on three vacations a year. I never missed any school events for my kids. So your opportunity to really have it all is there if you look and have the courage to kind of go off the unbeaten path, right? Like I mean like when I grew up, my parents were like, go to college, get a job. And I'm like, went to college, got a job, and I wasn't set. So now I'm like, no, I'm going to do my own thing. So that's how I ended up here. So I kind of view what I do like paying it forward, helping educate other people. So that's why I created Frame Guidance. Frame Guidance is my own website, my own business, my own, you know, resource. And I basically am here to educate people about what owning a franchise is like. And as a franchise owner, I'm not just talking to talk. There are a lot of franchise consultants out there that just that never owned a franchise. And I'm like, what? How can you do that without owning a franchise? Right. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't just talk the talk. I walk the walk. Right. So I currently own my franchise today with my wife, you know, and I help advise other people into what it's like. And more importantly, like I have over 1,000 options in my portfolio with FranChoice. And it's like, okay, what's the best business? Right. And that's really what I spend a lot of time with my clients talking about is what's the best fit, because there's something for everybody. You know, it's almost a business in every category.
Okay, so let's get into that then. As far as someone come to you and, you know, they're looking at the franchise model, what are some misconceptions that are out there that they would probably present you with?
Yeah, there are a couple. One is people are like, oh, so if it's a franchise business, then I don't need any money, right? Because they're going to pay for the business. I'm like, no,
don't work that way.
Business means it's your business, right? So don't get that wrong. This is 100% your business. Every penny that goes into it is penny out of your pocket, right? It's money out of your pocket. What you're buying with a franchise is a proven model. You're given an operating system. You're given training. You're given a supply chain. You're given marketing support, management support, sales support from the standpoint of education, right? So what you're buying is a proven model, which means that what they're going to, so the hard thing about owning a new business or your own business is that you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, right? You have an idea. Hey, I want to start a business. I'm going to, you know, but there's no roadmap, right? Which means every bit of your learning when you own a business is through trial and error. You try it. It works. You keep going. If it doesn't work, then you made a mistake. Then you change it. Try it again, right? 50% of your time, if not more, is wasted trying to figure out how am I going to make this business work. Franchise, they did all that learning for you, right? You might have 20 years of experience that you're going to get out the gate. Before you start, you're going to say, do this, don't do this, right? They're going to teach you what to do to run a successful business without wasting your time doing stuff you're not supposed to do, that's not going to work, right? And all you do is spend your time executing, which means you're spending money, making money, right? You're not going to waste your time figuring out how do I do this, right? Because you're going to say, this is how you do it. This is how you start. This is how you launch. They're going to give you all the marketing expertise to build awareness. They're going to give you sales materials, training, all that stuff. They're going to tell you who to hire, how to hire, how much to pay them. I mean, there's like, it's like paint by numbers. Right. So when someone says, hey, paint box number one pink, you paint it pink. Box number two blue, you paint it blue. At the end of the day, you have this beautiful painting, right?
Exactly. And you're like,
right. You don't need to be an artist to do it, right? If you just follow the instructions. So that's the beauty of owning a franchise is, you know, you have a higher rate of success, faster route to profitability, you know, and it's a proven model. Right. So it's not, there's predictability to it, projectability out of it. Now, the other, you know, going back to the misconceptions is, oh, so they're going to run it for me. No, it's for you to run. Right. So you got to run. You got to make all decisions. Like they're going to tell you what kind of people to hire, who to look for. But it's up to you to hire them. Right. Because they're employees. Right. You got to pay their payroll. You got to do the marketing. You got to do all this stuff. So everything is on you. But they're going to give you all the, you know, shortcuts.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, that I don't know if that answered your question.
No, that did. I love it. I love how you went into depth with it as well. So then there's the, you know, you talked about the ups. What are some downs for, you know, the franchise model?
Well, the downs of it is that his work, right? I mean, there's no such thing as free money. I mean, you know, I learned that, you know, I didn't expect free money, but, you know, the reality is you got to work for it, right? You know, and there's no guarantees either. So even though there's a model, even though, you know, there's forecasts and there's past precedent, you know, like other people make millions, it doesn't mean you will, right? There's no guarantees in life, but the odds are, or the chances are, that, you know, you can achieve that by following what. So I don't know if you've heard of Tony Robbins, right? He's the, you know, the entrepreneurial guru, right? The speaker on, you know, how to get rich. He said the fastest way to get rich is to do what someone else did to get rich. And that's what franchising is, right? I mean, a lot of franchise owners are getting rich in some of these businesses. There's no reason why you can't just follow it and do it yourself. But the downside is that there's no guarantee, right? The downside is you got to work, but, you know, in what business don't you work? The downside is that it is a model, right? It is a business in a box. It is structured. So if you bought a Starbucks, you know, you can't go and invent your own drink. Right. I mean, you got to serve what's part of the business model. Right. I can't decide to go make crepes. You know what I mean? Do they sell crepes? They might even sell crepes at Starbucks, you know, but I can't go sell, you know, pottery, you know what I mean? Out of the Starbucks, you know, I mean, although they sell cups too. So, you know, I'm here, I'm like crushing my own analogy, but, you know, but the reality is when, if you buy a pet grooming business, you know, you're not going to go and cut human hair. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You can groom pets, right? So when you buy into a franchise, you got to buy into the business, buy into the model, buy into the brand, because that's what you're buying and that's what you're committed to.
So when you're consulting with, you know, individuals who are interested in, you know, buying a franchise model, is part of the assessment, or, you know, going through that step with them, analyzing from the standpoint of what type of personality they have, a tolerance for business, and trying to find a franchise model that fits that?
Exactly. Yep, that's exactly right. There are a lot of factors involved. It's pretty complicated, right? Because like I said, in my portfolio alone, there's over 1,000 options.
Yeah.
In franchising across the world, you know, across the US, there's over 4,500 options. Right. So with that many options, what does that mean? There's tons of different budgets. The amounts can range from 75,000 to 2 million. I mean, there's something called owner-operator businesses where you're required to run it every day. And then there's semi-absentee owner business, which means that they're manager run, right? Which means those are great for second income streams. If you got a day job, you can actually own a franchise and not even work it, right?
Yeah.
They have businesses that are brick and mortar. Yes, build a store. If you're going to build a store, you got to give yourself 6 months to 9 months to 12 months to even open it, right? Because you got to find a location, you know. Then I got service businesses that require no investment in the store. You know, I got businesses in them for every category: fitness, healthcare, children's education, pet care, food. I mean, you know, you name it, I got it, right? So there's so many factors. Like, what do you want to do? How much do you have to invest? How much do you want to work? You know, where do you want that business located? You know, that's a whole, there's a whole geographic discussion. You know what I mean? I mean, so there's tons of stuff to think about that most people don't think about. So I spend the time working with them so they think through all the factors, and the goal is to understand them well enough and them to understand themselves well enough that we can pick the best business to meet their needs.
Yeah. So with the things you just said, the factors, right? Is there any data showing, like, you know, is anything trending as far as a particular industry that people are getting into from the front franchise standpoint?
Not really, right? Because if you think about it, I got painting businesses, right? And painting is always relevant. Anyone who buys a house, sells a house, remodels a house, or a business, what do? They usually paint, right? That's always going to be relevant. There's no trends for that. You know what I mean? Disaster restoration. I mean, we're getting crazy cold weather. That's cold for the most places. I mean, this weekend in Dallas, Texas, it was like 15 degrees. It went down to 10 degrees at one point.
Oof.
Well, there's a whole lot of burst pipes going on. There's a whole lot of damage going on. Well, disaster restoration, that's going to be relevant, you know, indefinitely, especially with all these crazy weather changes we're seeing. Last winter, it went to minus 40 in Boston. One of my colleagues owns a disaster restoration business. He made 150 grand in 1 week
because
of all these burst pipes.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, if you want to make that kind of money, you know, that kind of stuff is available. But those are kind of things that aren't trending, right? Mm-hmm. What's trending high? I would say pet care businesses. I mean, during the pandemic, more people bought pets than anything else, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a record number of pets. Senior care booming because there's 10,000 people turning over 65 a day in this country. And guess what? 90% of them don't want to voluntarily go to a senior care home. Mm-hmm. They're like, hell no, I don't want to do that. I want to live in my own house. Why do I want to go to a senior care home? Right. So, I mean, services like that are booming. Right. So, you know, with that said, there's some stuff that's trending because of demographic trends, things like that. But otherwise, you know, fitness is always relevant. Food's always relevant. I mean, you know.
Definitely get that. So in your journey of your entrepreneurial journey, what's been the most thing that's been impactful to you that, you know, you learned that you necessarily didn't know going into it?
You know, so part of it is think about like pressure and stress, right? I mean, pressure and stress is always one of the biggest negative implications of work and just life in general, right? When you work for somebody else, you know, they're telling you every day what you need to do, when you need to do it by, and how good you're doing and how bad you're doing, right? There's a lot of external pressure there, right? They're like, hey, you got a $2 million goal. You better get it done this week. Otherwise, boom, you're
we're cutting
your head off, right? And you're like, oh man, so you're freaking out. I mean, that's how my life was, right? I was just like, oh my God, this is, you know, that's external pressure. Right. When you own your own business, you don't have external pressure. You have internal pressure. Right. Your internal pressure is, wow, I got to get this accomplished today. I want to grow my revenue by this amount this year. I want to do this. I want to do that. Right. So it's a very different pressure. And even though they're both pressures, external pressure has a much greater negative impact on your health and on your mind well-being. Right. We all have internal pressures, right? To be better, right? To strive for goals. And sometimes these are goals that are positive pressures, right?
Yeah.
I want to make $1 million this year. Well, that's great, right? It's not a negative. It's a pressure, but it's a pressure on me because I want to be able to, you know, help pay for my kids' college. I want to go and take us all on a nice vacation, right? You get some nice rewards. But there's a different pressure, which I also can define as motivation. Right. But when someone's yelling at you to get this done by 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, is that motivation or is that pressure? You know what I'm saying?
It's pressure.
So what I realized was there's a huge difference between different kinds of pressure. External pressure, which is coming from the corporate world, so a boss, people who are yelling at you versus internal pressure, which is you yelling at yourself. And it's two different things. You're not going to call, you know, you're not going to yell at yourself and call yourself. Well, I guess you could call yourself names, but
that would be very interesting.
but usually, like internally, it's more like I'd like to view it as more motivations and pressure to perform versus pressures of inadequacy or pressures of, you know what I'm saying? Like it's a very different pressure. So that was kind of a big intellectual aha, which is I sleep better at night, even though I have internal pressure. Whereas when I was in the corporate world, I just couldn't sleep. I had restless nights worrying about, you know, what I need to deliver for my boss tomorrow.
So I imagine you have a team of individuals to help you with your mission, correct? As far as your business.
I do. Yeah. One of the questions I had this morning from, you know, a person I was talking to is, I don't want to be a slave to my business, right? And it's kind of like being a slave to your job, right? And you have to say no, you know. But in your business, you know, you don't need to just say no. You need to build an infrastructure that's going to let you step away.
Yeah.
Right. Which means you got to learn how to trust and empower employees.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a control freak,
mm-hmm.
you know, you'll never be to step away from the business, right?
Yeah.
But if you can learn to hire, train, and give responsibility to people to do what they're supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
like literally you can walk away from a business on a day-to-day activity basis, right? Never. Mm-hmm. So there's a passive business. So let me just erase that from anyone's mind who's listening to this. There's no such thing as passive income. Mm-hmm. Even investing in the stock market's not passive, because if you're not watching the market and what's going on, you can just lose all your money.
Yeah, right? Lose it all, yeah.
So there's no such thing as passive. But there's, like I described, semi-absentee means it's designed to be manager run. So my fitness studio, I'm never in my studio working the front desk or teaching a fitness class, right? Mm-hmm. I have a manager that does that. Mm-hmm. The only time I'm in the studio is when I'm taking a class myself. So mm-hmm. I kind of call it a lifestyle business, because I'm there checking on the facility. Is it clean? Is it, mm-hmm. you know, operated properly? I talk to the staff when I'm there, and I talk to members when I'm there, and I audit the instructors when I'm there. Mm-hmm. So I'm just taking a spin class. I do that 3-4 days a week. That's the only time I'm in the studio.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm not up at 5 a.m. opening the door, or closing the door at 8 o'clock at night.
Exactly. And like you said, you know, the business is not dictating you. You dictate the business.
That's right.
So,
And I just make sure the manager's doing what they're supposed to do. That's my
job. Yeah.
Right. If they're not doing their job, fire them and hire someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like you be ruthless, right? But it's your business.
Exactly.
So, you know, the reality is you find right good people, you trust good people, and you let them do what they're supposed to do, which is run your business.
Mm-hmm. So was it an easy or a smooth transition as far as the mindset of, you know, because you had made it to senior leadership in corporate, but then when you open your own business and you start hiring people, you're now responsible for their livelihood through decision making.
You know, I love that you brought that up, because what I tell people is that the number one difference is when you work for somebody, you're an employee, right? Mm-hmm. You're a cog in a wheel, which means your boss tells you to get up, boss tells you to go to sleep, boss tells you to do this, do that, right? When you buy your own business, you automatically get promoted to CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a learning curve, because, you know, you always want to be the nice guy, you know what I mean? And the reality is it's your money, it's your business. There's no room for nice guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean you need to be a jerk, but you got to evaluate people, and either they perform or they don't perform, and you got to be upfront about it. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a good way to run a business, which is communicate, right? Make sure they know they're not doing well. Right. And in the same hand, let them know they are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You got to trust, but you also got to manage. And that's what I mean. You got to know exactly what they're doing every day by staying in communication. It doesn't mean you have to be there hand-holding them. But at the end of the day, if they tell you that, hey, yeah, I signed up 5 members, right, and met their goal, is different from saying, oh, yeah, today I signed up nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. What happened today?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, I saw there were 20 new riders in this studio. None of them wanted to join? Why? Did you talk to all 20 of them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like there's ways to be in touch with the business without being the business.
Yeah.
And holding people accountable to what they're supposed to do. That's the big difference. When you're a CEO, your job is to look at the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
It's to hire people, empower people, do the marketing, you know, manage pricing, manage advertising, manage staff, manage the P&Ls, manage expenses, right? It doesn't mean you're teaching a spin class. It doesn't mean you're cleaning bikes, right? In fact, you shouldn't be doing that stuff. You got to focus on the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different
than
being the cog in a wheel as an employee.
So with your goals and stuff for your business, and, you know, now that you have multiple streams of revenue, are you setting higher goals because you've achieved some sense of, you know, satisfaction with the previous goals that you set?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, one of the things that, I don't know, and I'll generalize, right? I think I define myself as a type A person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those are, you know, great personality traits to own a business, because I wake up in the morning and I just hate laying in bed, right? I'm like, all right, stuff that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not the kind of guy that hits snooze, and I'm not the kind of guy that just lays around doing nothing. The minute my eyes open, I'm like out of bed doing stuff, right? I'm working out, I'm doing my business, I'm doing some reading. I mean, I'm doing something, right? So with that in mind, I mean, my goals, my revenue goals are the same thing. I mean, you know, I every year I set a big goal because I'd rather aim high and fail high than to aim low and fail low.
Yeah.
Right. And so I've doubled my income since owning my own business each year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. To the point now that 6 years later, I've more than tripled my corporate income.
Yeah. Which is fantastic.
And like this year, I'm going to launch a short-term rental business. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and that's going to be my fourth business. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm like, hey, once you kind of become a business owner, mm-hmm. like, I'm like, I can do this. Mm-hmm. Right. It becomes less scary
mm-hmm.
and you start to learn about, you know, this whole idea of multiple revenue streams.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you go, when you make money doing one thing and you're successful in one thing, then you start to get more educated. You start to meet people who are like, who've focused on wealth generation, and you mm-hmm. learn about, well, what else can I do? You know? And because you're not like that hamster on the hamster wheel, like you are as an employee, you're only accountable to yourself. So no one's going to hold you accountable and say, you got to work 40 hours a week. I got 40 hours a week, if not more, whatever. That's at my complete disposal. Mm-hmm. I can carve it up any way I want. You know what I mean? So if I need to carve 5 hours to start a new business, then I'm going to find a way to carve 5 hours off to start a new business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, like I said, if you're smart enough about empowering people to run your other businesses, now you're not a slave to any one business. You're the CEO of multiple businesses, right? Because CEOs mm-hmm. don't do the work. They hire people to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
That's the secret.
Yeah. And you're the strategic person. You're there, you know, like you said, exactly. Big picture things.
Exactly.
Have you gotten to the point to where, you know, because as we launch entrepreneurial careers and things of that nature, we confide in our network of people or family, friends, whomever. Have you gotten to the point to where those individuals came back to you, be like, you know what, since you started that and I've seen you've been successful, I think I'm going to go and start me something.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes the other way around too, because I look up to people who are more successful than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I say the same thing. You know, like I got into short-term rentals because one of my colleagues, he owns four properties and he's crushing it. And that's just his side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's got a day job. He's got other things going on. And I'm like, how'd you do it? I picked his brain and he took the time to share, you know, what he did. And I'm like, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I was like, I can do that. He goes, hell yeah, you can do that. You know, and boom, I did it. You know, I bought a property last year. I'm getting it all renovated now. I'm going to put it on the market this year and start generating some revenue, right? But that's the same thing with owning a franchise. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who are like, hey, I got a day job. Well, you know what? There's such a thing as semi-absentee owner business. That means you can do it on the side. All you got to do is prioritize your time a little bit to carve off, you know, a couple of extra hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk to someone like me to learn, how do I do it? How's it mm-hmm. done? And decide, okay, great. Now that I know how to do it, do I think I can do it? That's up mm-hmm. to you, right? But at least yeah. learn what the steps are.
So, I'm sorry, I just had a mind blank or whatever. Like I'm sitting there listening to the conversation. I'm like, I'm internalizing this information. I'm loving it. Okay, so entrepreneurship and just franchising in general, right? If you had the power to change anything, what would it be?
What do you mean by that?
Like, because you know, all
in
industries,
in
well,
the world,
just entrepreneurship in general, like whether you know how people perceive it, or you know, if people take it, if they need to take it more seriously than what they do, or just franchising model, if there's something that you know that could be changed and you had the power to change it. I'm like, you know, the more you know, the strengths and weaknesses, opportunities, and threats to everything, right? As far as within that sphere. So if you had the power to change anything, would there be anything that you would change about the industry?
You know, I don't know. That's a really broad question. You know, nothing jumps out to me, you know,
mm-hmm.
what I appreciate is, mm-hmm. are, and it sounds completely self-serving, so mm-hmm. it is what it is, are people like me. Right. Mm-hmm. When I was in the middle of my corporate career climb, if someone said, hey, you want to own a franchise, I would have said, absolutely not. Why would I want to do that?
Yeah.
Like, No, I'm happy. I'm doing my career. I'm doing my advertising thing. I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be rich. I'm good. I'm good. Right. The minute I realized that I wasn't going to achieve my goals doing what I was doing, I needed to talk to an expert. And I did. I found someone at Fran Choice who like shed the light on like alternative options. Right. This is what you could. Here's some options. Here's, and it was completely, you know, no costs, no risk, no nothing. That's what I do, right? I don't charge anything for my services. People like me, meeting people like me when you're ready is like one of the best things, because it's a complete education from an insider who, like my friend who owns rental properties, like I was able to pick his brain. He happened to be a friend of mine. And so I was lucky that I stumbled on him, kind of a colleague slash friend, right? We met through business. And we became friends. But it's like meeting someone like me when you're ready to learn about franchising is like one of the best things about what I do and about the industry is like it doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
There's no risk. There's no, you know, and if you can get more educated and learn about your options, it's like I sent a blog post to my kids. It was a guy on Facebook who's talking about, hey, if I were able to talk to my, you know, my younger self from 10 years ago, I'd tell him to save X amount of money, invest it in this kind of, you know, investment account. And by the time they're 50, they're going to be a millionaire. And I sent those to my two kids who are like in the 20s, like 22 and 21. I said, kids, if there's anything that I share with you that's valuable, you should listen to this guy because, you know, I'm older. I'm like twice your age. I'm already in my 50s. I was like, my dad never told me this.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the minute you have some extra money, just put it into an investment account.
Yeah.
Let it start to invest. Let it quietly build money for you. Right. I mean, now that's something that like it was free. I just listened, opened my mind to other options. I mean, same thing with franchising. If you just open your mind, if you're open to it, learn about it. And if it strikes a chord, consider it. If it doesn't, at least you're smarter, right?
Yeah.
It's all about opening your mind to things and having free resources, in my opinion, you know, is the best thing ever. Like it I didn't answer your question, but
no, you did. I love your answer. Because you know, people don't really get to look at it in that perspective of like, hey, you could go back and change something just with a new decision. And, you know, all that time will compound. And I'm like, yeah, I definitely would do a few things.
I mean, when I look back at myself, I say, if there's something I would have done sooner, I probably would have made the decision to leave corporate sooner, right?
Yeah.
If there's anything I regret, I would have made what I mean, like I said, it's like I'm making more than ever. And but I don't know, right? Because life is 20/20 hindsight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you the reality is, you know, you can only make the decisions for today. And so I tell anybody, if you're not happy with where you are, if you're not happy with financially where you are, career-wise where you are, or anything that you're not happy with, if you're not happy with your weight where you are, you can make that change today by just setting your mind to it, right?
Yes.
So I don't sound like a self-help guru, but the reality is true. I read it. I'm always about maintaining my health as well. I'm a big, which is why I invest in a fitness concept. You know, I believe in trying to preserve your health, because that's the only way to live a healthy, fulfilling life, right? If you don't have your health, I don't care how much money you got, right? Steve Jobs talked about that.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a billionaire. He said, I look backwards and it's all a waste because I'm dead. I'm going to be dead next week. You know, my billions of dollars I have are meaningless to me. I wish I could put all that money into my health. Well, the reality is, you know, 80% of your health is in your control. 10% is based on your genetics. People don't realize that, right? They're like, oh, I got the fat gene, or I got the, you know, the addictive gene, or I got the, well, maybe you got to work a little bit harder, but you know, 80% of, you know, your health and well-being your control between what you eat, you know, what you do and don't do physically, all that stuff. Same thing with your career, same thing with your income, same thing with anything there is about your life that you're not happy with, is you're in control of it, and your decisions from today on are for you to make.
Exactly. I love that. Last question. How important is mentorship, especially, you know, I'm saying, getting into entrepreneurship and franchising model?
I think mentorship is critical. right? Because part of mentorship is talking to somebody who ideally has a little bit more experience than you.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, right? I mean, usually those are people we look up to, someone who's a little bit older, someone who's done something that you want to do, you know, and learning from somebody is the probably the fastest and best way to gain knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I mean, I've been running a franchise for 6 years. I've been a consultant, you know, helping people. I understand the inside of the industry. I know more than most people about franchising.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to someone who knows more than you about it, right? If you want to get into it. Same thing with investing. Same thing with, you know, flipping properties or doing short-term rentals or mm-hmm. whatever it might be. You know, if you want to learn about something, to find somebody who's done it.
Mm-hmm.
And try to get them to adopt you.
Yeah.
you know, just ask questions. Most people mm-hmm. are willing to share stuff. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? If you just strike up a conversation and have the nerve enough to, you know, recognize that, you know, there's opportunity for you to learn and, mm-hmm. and you know, do something new. Don't be afraid. Fear is the number one. Fear and complacency.
Mm-hmm.
are the roots of most people's inability to progress in life.
Mm. Fear right? and complacency.
Yeah, mm. fear and complacency, right? You're just happy with whatever. Yeah. It is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever, you know? It's like, oh, well, I'd rather have this paycheck than no paycheck.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's not the right way to look at it. You, mm-hmm. you know, you want this paycheck, you want a bigger paycheck.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you're happy with it, more power to you. Go for it, right? You know, and then fear is like, oh, is there, you know, I don't know if it's going to be any better. I don't know what's going to happen. There's no guarantees. You know, mm-hmm. the reality, there's guarantees in life, period, even with your job. You
I know what tell I mean? People that all the time.
There's so many people getting laid off, getting fired. You know what I mean?
Especially the pandemic showed it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now what? Right. Same thing mm-hmm. with the health. Like I was just saying to my wife, one thing I want to start focus on more seriously is my health. You know, mm-hmm. and to say, hey, do I need that last drink? You know, mm-hmm. what, do I need to eat that last piece of cake? Mm-hmm. Do I need it? You know what I mean? What's it going to do to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like yeah. all that sugar, all that alcohol, like, you know, it that those short term, you know, gains, right? Start mm-hmm. thinking about the big picture, you know?
Exactly.
It's like, you know, start adopting some make some positive change, you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, as I get older, you kind of realize that, mm-hmm. you know, these kind of things, like, you're like, you know, when you're young, you're like, you're immortal, right?
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
When you get
yeah.
older, like, you know, all of a sudden you're like, man, you wake up, your back hurts. And you're like, I didn't do uh-huh. anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'll start right? cricketing and everything.
I hate that. You know, then doctor's like, oh, that's arthritis. I'm like, what? Old people get arthritis. And I'm like,
exactly.
You're like, oh shit, I'm old.
Uh-huh. You know?
But damn, I need to do something about what can I do?
Yeah.
To offset that, right? Is there a better diet? Is there exercise? Is there, what mm-hmm. can I do to help now prevent mm-hmm. arthritis? Because I never thought I'd get it.
Yeah. You know?
And now I got it. And I'm like, exactly. Oh, that's like an ugly dose of reality.
It is. Well, Mr. Chung, thank you for all the jewels you've been dropping. I appreciate it. I know people are going to love this episode when it's put out. But for anybody out there, they want to get in contact, they need a consultation, things of that nature, want to, you know, learn more, where do they need to be directed?
Yeah, so my website is franguidance.com. So it's FRANGUIDANCE.com. There's lots of information there about me, about my process, about the opportunities available. My calendar link is in there, my phone number's in there, my email's in there. So everything is that you need is in there. So mm-hmm. I'd say go to franguidance.com, do a little reading, check it out. Feel free to give me a call. I mean, you know, I made a commitment to talk to anybody. I'm talking to mm-hmm. a 24-year-old kid, never mm-hmm. went to college. He'd been working as a manager of Wingstop for the last, whatever, 10 years. And he goes, you know what? I want to own my own business mm-hmm. because I'm making other people money. I mean, he doesn't have enough money to buy a business, but I'm going to meet with him because I want him to understand what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
Because now he'll have a goal of what he needs to save, what mm-hmm. he needs to do. So I'm willing to meet with anybody mm-hmm. Just to help set them on the right path. And
yeah.
you may not have the money to do it now, but if you can understand what it's going to take, Now you can start putting those building blocks together to achieve a goal, you know, faster than not knowing and you know, not understanding what it's going to take, right? Yeah. So just give me a buzz. I'm happy to talk to anybody.
That's what's up. I love it. You're out here changing lives. So y'all make sure y'all go, exactly, brandguidance.com. If y'all want y'all's consultation, a phone call, whatever the case may be, Sean has a lot of experience and knowledge. Definitely a great person to learn from. And as always, y'all make sure y'all keep supporting the platform, Bank That Radio Show, across social media and the website, bankthatradioshow.com.